Hello?
Alongside with Angelo Berkowitz and Tom Shane. And before we jump right into a tremendous first show that we have for you, I just want to introduce ourselves. Of course, my name is Brandon Dowling. I'm the host of the Brandon Dowling Show along with Tom Shane and Angelo Berkowitz. We are the new faces of Jet Nation Radio, and we plan to bring you a jam-packed action show on a week-to-week basis. And, you know, like we are going to bring you week-to-week all your Jets talk, up-to-date info, news, and, of course, our crazy analysis sometimes of things, all things New York Jets. And, of course, with this show, we couldn't figure out a better way to start off Jet Nation Radio's new era than to bring in Joe Namath for an interview we conducted this morning. We will get to that in a little bit. But before we jump right into that, I want to introduce Angelo Berkowitz and Tom Shane. What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up, Brandon?
All right, so
good to be here.
Let's jump right into topics, because why waste any time? You know, the draft is coming up next week. The Jets have plenty of holes on the offense and defensive side of the ball. Now, Tom, you told me before the show you had an interesting take on what direction the Jets were going to go. So let's jump right into it. What direction do you think the Jets are going to go with their draft?
Brandon, because I don't have a real personal life and I have nothing going on otherwise, I do mock drafts like every day. And every time I do a mock draft, I keep coming up with quarterbacks. It's been Blake Bortles, but the more I read that Teddy Bridgewater's dropping, I don't know how they pass on him if he's sitting there. I think it's a big BPA guy, obviously, as we saw last year when he was taking a defensive end and a cornerback, which made me weep openly. But I think if Bridgewater drops and he's sitting there, I don't know that you can pass on him just because you have Geno Smith and Mike Vick on the roster. Let's not forget Matt Sims for the big Matt Sims fan contingent on Jet Nation.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, there's your dark horse right there, Matt Sims. I don't know if you could pass on Bridgewater if he's sitting there. What do you think?
I think it's incredibly tough to pass on Bridgewater, you've got to really like him. You've got to love Bridgewater if you're going to draft him there, because if you're drafting Bridgewater to sit for at least the next season, because I don't see him beating out Vic and Geno Smith in a camp battle. So now it's almost like you're developing Teddy Bridgewater at the same time. I mean, you know, if Geno Smith had Mark Sanchez's psyche and they had drafted a first-round quarterback, Mark Sanchez would be in a mental institution right now.
But you also have to think about it this way too. You're going to tell me that an organization is going to go with, you know, Geno Smith prototypically is a first round type talent, you know, one of the biggest draft falls of all time, actually. You know, people were talking about him going number one to Jacksonville at one point during the lead up to the draft. So from an organizational standpoint, I don't see how you can make a selection of a quarterback three times in 5 years. You know, that just screams to me that you're trying for the quick fix. You're trying to bring in a guy, another, you don't give anybody a chance really to grow into that leader for your team. You tried with Mark Sanchez and then you ruined him. So you're in a situation where what do? You're going to go for another quarterback. You're going to go and bring in another new regime. in the offense. I mean, it becomes a complete mess. But, you know, we actually, right off the bat on Jet Nation Radio, it's amazing how the Jet Nation fan base is already coming out. We got a couple callers lined up. So let's start with our 562 area code. It's been holding for about 3 minutes. You're on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello. I'm Joe. I call in often. I'm from Long Beach. I think that drafting Bridgewater, I definitely wouldn't go there as far as – I really feel like we already have a set quarterback already there with Geno and Vic. We gave Vic a decent deal. If it doesn't work out this year, you know, we can get rid of him. And if Geno does come out to be the starter, awesome. We drafted him. He's our franchise quarterback. I honestly think he has the talent to be our franchise quarterback, but we haven't given him the offensive tools to do that. He was throwing to next to nobody last year outside of when Curley came back, and the other two wideouts he had on the other side was nothing. So outside of our – we had a decent running game. This year we went and got Decker. We've got CJ2K. So we gave him something to build off of. It's going to be a second year with Marty Morningwig. That's something to build off of. I think what we need to do in the first round, if we don't trade down or if there's someone there, possibly go and buy a receiver. That's the only thing I can look at that. I would say that we could draft in the first round that would need immediate help. Wouldn't mind going corner in the first round either if there's a decent one there.
Corner.
Also, you can trade down. Yes.
All right, Tom, go ahead. Your response to that.
If we go corner, I understand what you're saying, and I know there's a kind of a need at corner, but if we go corner, if we go defense in the first round, I'm going to hurt myself. I'm putting that out there on the air. We got to stop. If the coach is a defensive mastermind, you don't need first-round picks at every position. He's got to make a corner one of these days. Go do that. Make it, Rex. That's what you do. That's what you're here for. The offense is putrid. If a quarterback is picked, now, don't look for me next Tuesday. Joe, you come get my headset because you're going to host the show the day after they pick the corner. Because they're going on sabbatical forever.
Well,
let me ask
right.
Joe, which receiver?
Tom, you just convinced about half the listeners out there that they to draft the cornerback now.
Oh, absolutely. I'm praying that they go cornerback number one now in the first round selection.
That caller antagonized me right off the bat. I swear to God, I wasn't going to bash Rex until like week three, but he started in with me with the cornerback. No offense, that was a great call. That was a fantastic call, and I do want him to take my chair when I die if they draft the cornerback.
All right. Thanks for the call, Joe. Okay. And we actually have another guy on our line here, 904 area code. You are on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
904 area code. So, Tom Shane, you know that where that is, right?
904, is that Rochester? I don't even remember.
That's Jacksonville, Florida, my friend.
Oh, my God. Is Joe Broad?
This is Klecko73 is God.
Joe
and
Broad.
Now
Oh, my God. Brandon, this is royalty. Anytime he calls, dump it, but just know that you dump royalty.
All right,
Joe,
go ahead.
Please.
Go ahead, Joe.
Brandon, I just had an accident in my pants just now.
Can we draft a wide receiver and I get to hurt Tom Shane?
Absolutely.
Yes, we will make that deal. That would be this year's draft bet. Anything but offense, you can beat the hell out of me. I'm good with that.
Oh, God. That's a gift.
Klecko's favorite player now is Darquise Bennett.
Well, he can't. Bridgewater, if Bridgewater is there at 18, I hope the Jets don't take him because he's probably not very high on the Jets draft board either at that point.
You cannot take a quarterback. I mean, here's the reality of the situation. And as much
I don't
as
want
Tom,
to take a quarterback before the fifth round.
No, it's just – and you're not even going to select the quarterback because you can't keep putting yourself in a position where you don't know what direction you're going in. That's the problem with the Jets. They had their direction that they were going in 2-3 years ago. They had a strong defense. They had a running game. And they had a quarterback that would manage the football game, high completion percentage passes, and play with your defense. Then they decided to go out and bring in Derek Mason, Plaxico Burress, and bring in every 33 and up receiver that was past their prime, and they moved into a different direction, and it went into a tailspin. You have to take a direction. You have Geno Smith, who has a big arm, who can play in a West Coast-style offense, and you can move the football. I mean, and thanks for the call, by the way. You know, it's amazing to me that we can sit here and not give a guy a chance, where now you're going to be in a position where you went out and you got Decker. You added Chris Johnson into the running back game. And you're moving pieces around where you can say, okay, let's go and go offense in the first round, which we haven't done in a couple years now. And we have to make a move where we're giving our quarterback a chance to win. You know, when Geno Smith is going out there, 10.5-point underdogs on Monday Night Football, throwing to Clyde Gates and Jeff Cumberland, and we're getting excited about that, that's when we know the quarterback needs some guys to play with.
Yeah.
Right, but I do have a counterpoint to this.
Sure.
Because if you get Bridgewater in the first round, Idrick is supposed to be some sort of genius, right? He's supposed to be, because he's staking his whole pretty much career on his ability to draft. That's the whole overall mindset, right? We're not signing free agents. We're going to do it through the draft. Are you going to tell me that he's not going to be able to find a playmaker in the second round, a cornerback in the second round, a playmaker maybe in the third round, especially since wide receiver is already
Of course.
A deep position?
Right.
So, you know, he may take Bridgewater in that spot, and knowing how his draft board shapes up.
But why don't we do this? Why don't you take a playmaker in the first round, find a playmaker in the second round, find another playmaker in the third round, and hell, you might even get lucky in the fourth round. I mean, rather than try and get a different direction, let's start putting some playmakers on both sides of the ball. I mean, you're actually looking at a football team that has young talent on it, both on the defensive line and on the offensive side. So you need to stop. We need to stop panicking at the quarterback position year in and year out, and you need to give a guy a shot. Now, Tom's thought here is a shot in the dark, and you're looking at it from, well, what do you draft? Are you in that best available player mode where you take who's the best on the board is, or are you drafting for needs? That's the big question, Tom, and what is your response to that?
I think if you're basing off of last year, he's going to go best available player, and it comes down to, is Odell Beckham Jr. higher on his board than Teddy Bridgewater is? Or if Bridgewater is at, like, number 10 on his board and Beckham's number 11, does he say, screw it, I'm just going to take the number 11 player at my draft pick, you know? It depends on what Idrick wants to do. He's like a complete cipher. Nobody knows what he's going to do.
Well, he did not go best available last year, though. He went, you know, if you can't tell me, you know, right off the bat that in the first round when the Jets picked, you know, in their second first-round pick, Sheldon Richardson was not the best available player on the board in anybody's case.
I think he was the best player available at that spot for Idrick. That I do believe that. But you know what? They wanted to draft Tavin Austin. That was no secret. Maybe because Rex got a big mouth, but it was no secret.
I think Tavin Austin was higher on the board, and I'll disagree on Richardson because you got Rex there, and Rex loves his defensive lineman, and that's what he knows.
Right. But that's
and
drafting
if
for
Rex
needs.
It wasn't a need at the time. You know,
defensive tackle. He got rid of Sione Puha.
Yeah, what's his name? The free agent
guy. He was a great player for them.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, who was last year. Anyway, that guy, Harrison, right?
Right.
That guy. A lot
yeah,
of Jester, that guy.
He was fantastic, that guy. He was, I actually
no,
have
he
a
was good. Harrison was
that,
good in
that
middle,
guy
but the middle. I think defensive end, Quentin Coble was actually coming on at the end of the year before, you know, at defensive end.
We're talking big guys in the middle, though. We're talking... We're talking who are stuffing the run up the middle. You know, and when it came down to it, the Jets needed help up front, and they went with needs. They got rid of Revis. You're drafting D. Milliner. A lot of people thought that he was, you know, that wasn't the best available guy at that time, but they needed a corner after Revis. They lost their defensive tackle. You know, they released their veteran, and they needed somebody to replace them up front. The Jets, from what I've seen in their draft, are very high on drafting for what they need rather than for what's available. Now, what they did was, in the quarterback position, you could have an argument. Did they need a quarterback in the second round? Or were they saying, wow, Geno Smith is available in the second round, let's go get it? That's not drafting for need, in my opinion. That was drafting for talent.
Right. I'm still going to disagree on Milner and Richardson being need picks. I don't think you needed Milner, I saw in mock drafts, I mean, for whatever that's worth, leading up to it, was, you know, the second player pick, the third player pick, and he dropped that down to the Jets pick 9, and he took him. You know, it was just the best player on the board at the time. And Richardson, this is what I'm saying, we don't really know what Izzy's board looked like and how much his board is influenced by Rex and whoever else. You know, I just don't think it's board by committee like Tannenbaum had, but I do think that Richardson was just the next guy on his board, and he took him.
You have a point, Tom.
Tom, I agree, except Izzy's perfect draft last year. If you're looking at who he was interested in, who he was going to probably take with that 9th pick if St. Louis didn't jump up, he was going to take Tavon Austin. Now he's sitting at 13. Now let's assume Milliner is still there. Let's just assume Milliner's there. Who is he taking? Is he taking Milliner or is he taking Sheldon Richardson?
That's a good question. Like, if he doesn't have the 9 pick?
What's that?
If he doesn't have the 9 pick, who does he take?
If he's got the 9 pick and he uses it on Tavon Austin like they had originally planned before St. Louis jumped ahead of them. So now
I'm
going to
assume
Tavon
Milner was higher on his board than Richardson was. You know,
got cornerback and you've got wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Now, this may be a case of the best players available actually coinciding with need. And you'll see that. I think you'll see that a lot. You might see that a lot this year.
Yeah.
Now, I completely agree with you. It's a potential direction for them to go. But we are going to take a quick break here. You are listening to Jet Nation Radio, hosted by Brandon Dowling, Tom Shane, and Angelo Berkowitz. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to release the interview that was Broadway Joe Namath, right after the break. Listen live as me and Angelo, Tom, you know, had his phone issues today, so he actually had to cut out on it. And with the interview, when you hear it off the break, please, we apologize. We had some technical difficulty in the first couple minutes of the interview. Bear with us as Joe Namath talks about meeting Mickey Mantle at a go-go bar on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. What gets better than that? Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information using the right media. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
Okay, guys, now joining us on Jet Nation Radio, he is a five-time Pro Bowler, a Super Bowl champion, a Super Bowl MVP, and a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But most importantly, he is the coolest man in New York City. Please welcome on Joe. Name is Joe. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, thanks, man. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. All right, Joe and I, we really appreciate you joining us. Of course, the legendary Joe Namath was on Jet Nation Radio. And I wanted to start it off, Joe. I was looking up your incredible biography last night, and the first thing that jumped out to me was when you were originally drafted, you were actually selected by the Cardinals of the NFL along with the Jets. What made you make that decision to go with the Jets in the AFL over the Cardinals in the NFL?
Well, like a lot of things in life, Brandon, you want to know the people you're going to work with and who you feel best with. And following some advice from Coach Bryant about getting to know who my coaches would be and ownership, fan-related base, these kind of things came into play. And for a rookie quarterback at the time, Weave Eubank, with Coach Johnny Unitas, was very impressive to me, along with Mr. Hess and the ownership of the Jets, let alone being in New York. But actually,
right.
It was because of Weave Eubank and the owners of the Jets that I ended up with our team.
Hey, Joe, Angelo here.
Yes, Angelo, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great, Joe.
Good.
So we've just closed the chapter on another potential successor. It seems like a long line of potential successors to the franchise quarterback ideal that you had established with the Jets on Mark Sanchez. What do you think went wrong with Mark Sanchez? I'm sure it's a combination of things, but what specifically would you say it was the downfall of Mark over these past 4 years?
Angelo, you know, you're right in that it was a series of things. The downfall, he hasn't fallen down in my eyes. I think we've made a mistake. I think if he didn't get hurt last year, you might have made the playoffs. You've got to remember, this is a team game. When he came to the Jets, they inherited a pretty good bunch there Mark's first year or so, and his second year. The team changed a bit, too. As recently as last season, when you look at Eli Manning and how he performed, given the fact that his offensive line and his team wasn't up to speed as they were earlier, I promise you, Sanchez would have played better if he had better support that third and fourth year. But meantime, media made a lot of fun of him, and he messed up now and then. Yeah, he messed up, and some of the things were almost comical, sadly enough. But Sanchez is going to play as long as he wants to. He's going to be in the NFL as long as he's healthy and he wants to play. He's that good, and his future is that bright.
So so the time in Philadelphia is just a matter of him reestablishing himself and he's going to go on and succeed somewhere else.
I don't think he's going to beat Foles out. I mean, Foles is going to have to step in a hole or something. Watching him play last year, I'm going to tell you, Angelo, there's not many better passers in the NFL than Foles already. And I've just seen him a little bit, man. I think that guy, he changes speeds. He puts touch on the ball. He can see things. I think he's going to be special if he's not already special. But when Mark gets a chance to play, he's bringing a lot of quickness afoot. He's bringing some experience with him. He still has a strong arm. I hope the injury's 100% healed. And he's a keen competitor. And you haven't heard one guy on that team in those 4 years come down on Mark. Not one guy that had both sides of the brain working, or how many parts of the brain would like to see functioning properly.
Right. No, I completely understand. Now, Joe, you know, one thing I've read, and too, you know, we've heard many amazing stories about you to this day. One question I do have for you, you know, there was many different opinions on some players on your Super Bowl team of when you became captain of the Jets. You know, why do you feel you were given the chance back in your earlier career to captain the Jets and ultimately lead them to their only Super Bowl title?
You know, you guys have read what I've read. I never knew that. I never knew those stories. Not one teammate ever told me that. And if that's the way it was, so be it. It worked. But I promise you, I didn't hear that until years after, man. And no one mentioned that until years after. So if that's the case, once again, it was a brilliant move on my teammates' behalf.
So it's true that you showed up 15 minutes before a game and slung 4 or 5 touchdowns against the Raiders?
I don't remember that. No, I don't remember that. The only time I showed up late for a game, and it wasn't for the game itself, right. I was lucky. I was riding in the car with my father.
Right.
And we got on the FDR leaving Manhattan, and at 104th Street to about 98th, it was flooded. And
wow.
We couldn't move. I
oh
got out
God.
To the stadium. My dad and I, we got to the locker room, and we went in the locker room, and it was empty.
Oh, my God.
I was scared, man. I felt so lousy because, you know, you didn't want to be a distraction anytime. Nobody
right.
does. That's whenever you got something to go. Well, I just knew Weed was going to be upset. Hell, I couldn't blame him, you know, and Winston Hill, Dave Herman, my teammates, they got to be wondering. Heck, I'd have been wondering if Riggins didn't show up in any given game year. I'd have been wondering if Matt Snell was late and wasn't ready to go out, you know, regardless of who it was.
Right,
so
right, right.
That was the only time I was ever late. And thank goodness, again, my dad was with me, so he vouched for that along with the driver. And I never used the FDR after that if I'm going to the airport or if I'm going to the game. I'll use First Avenue, Third Avenue, Park Avenue, you know, to get up to the Triborough instead of the FDR.
Right. Are you still close and in touch with any of your teammates from that Super Bowl roster?
Oh, yeah, I took one of the Super Bowl roster and some rosters after, too.
Right.
You know, Dave Herman and John Schmidt, Boozer. I get to see the guys, Mike Tomata, you know, a lot of the guys that are still around, Castor on a different team, you know, Buttle.
Right.
Sure, we're all, you know, you hear that term being that the family sticks together and all. Well, sometimes that families have problems, too, guys. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, teammates, former teammates, the allegiance to the team that you've been with, it varies. And there are a core of guys that do stick together no matter what. And McMillan, you know, he's always been around, our free safety from years, and we didn't even play together. Guys, I see Krepek, bless him, I don't see him often, but
right.
Anytime we run into one another, it's a good vibe. Freeman
Speaking
McNeil,
of
how can I go without mentioning Freeman McNeil and Marty Lyons? I see those guys so often,
yeah.
too, and even Gaston, though. Yeah, it's a trip. I enjoy seeing those guys anytime, man.
Speaking of distractions, Joe, I think Tom has a question for you.
Well, you know,
oh, no questions from Tom. No,
Tom actually had to leave us, and unfortunately, his studio phone wasn't up to par. So we're the lucky ones who we're talking with Joe Namath here on Jet Nation Radio. And Joe, going into this year and this draft, you got a lot of talks about quarterbacks, and you know they're saying this might be one of the deepest quarterback drafts in a while. Do you see a Joe Namath? Well, there's never going to be another Joe Namath, but do you see a player like with your type mentality in this draft who can instantly become a leader on a team coming into this class of quarterbacks?
Was that Tom's question?
No.
You know, that word instantly, too, instantly become a leader, instantly become, excuse me, things don't happen instantly very often, at least not good things, not around a group of people. You've got to earn your way. You've got to prove some things. You've got to be there day in and day out, how you practice, how you approach the plan, and all these kind of things. I see some wonderful athletes, of course. As far as quarterbacks coming into the league this year, there are certainly some good prospects. You know, the Jets have a lot of guys on their roster that I'm looking at that should be better, not necessarily being specific about the QBs, but when we talk
right.
about how the Jets are going to be drafted and all, they already got a bunch of guys that are supposed to be getting better and better too. But
right.
the one guy that has stood out to me when I saw him, when I eyeballed him, when I watched him play the game, and I just took my, wow, is Johnny Manziel. I mean, talk about the other guys all you want, but what I saw of Johnny Manziel, he has something special. He has. It seems to me he's got eyes not only in the front that he can pick up things, but he knows what's happening beside him, behind him, whatever. So, yeah, there are Bortles, there's guys out there, Carr, there are good quarterbacks out there from the college level. But they're going to have to develop. They're not going to come in like a Peyton Manning. You know, very few guys come in as rookie quarterbacks and are even able to play. Russell Wilson, again, I think is a prime example of how a guy can do with a good team. You see,
right.
it's a team
right.
game with a
yeah.
good team.
Right. No, I completely agree with you, Joe. Now, you talked about guys on the Jets that you see improving this year. If you had to pick out one player on this current roster for the Jets making that step towards being an impact player this year, who do you think in your eyes is going to be that guy who's going to take it to the next level for the Jets this year and stand out to everybody?
Well, you know what, Brandon, you know, impact players and standout players are usually the guys to we fans that see get the ball in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking offensive players, quarterbacks, receivers, running backs, the cornerbacks on defense that are exposed out there. I like to go at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
The Jets' defensive front is outstanding. It's going to be better, I believe. Kelvin Pace, I hope he can play up to how he did last year even. But meantime, it's that offensive line, too, that we know what we have with at least DeBrickishaw and Mangold and Cologne, who did a heck of a job last year. Winters, I just hope he continues to improve. And Giacomini, I don't know. I mean, Izzy knows he has seen enough of him. But we need depth. We need quality depth up front. The defense kept us in the game many times last year. We expect good play out of the defense. Questions with safeties? Well, look, Antonio Allen, Josh Bush, like we're talking, guys are supposed to get better.
Right.
Let's see if they can step up. Lanks is going to be there. Well, you know, the cornerback position, Milliner should be better. All right. Supplement the talent with some new talent coming in. You've got a contender. Heck, we had a contender last year, but who, you know, going into the season, 8-8, no way, they're not going to be 8-8. Well, it ended up 8-8 and could have been 10-6.
Right,
know,
100%.
Coulda, shoulda, all this stuff.
Right.
So I'm excited about this coming season, man.
Oh, absolutely. Angelo, go ahead.
Oh, Joe, I want to switch gears for a second. Now, you know, you knew you were going to get the food question from an Italian.
Bless you.
So you've got the name of the Rapid Griller, right?
Rapid Cooker, that's right.
Now, this thing, this cooks food at 1,400 degrees, is that right?
You know what, Angelo, this evolved over a period of a few years, and actually with the family, my family at home and then my cousin out in Ohio, John, and we were talking about cooking, and we were talking about a variety of ways, specifically meat, because, you know, we do a lot of cooking outside and tailgating and going on trips mm-hmm. and stuff. What we did discover after a lot of checking that you go into any great steakhouse around the country, in New York we have several of them. How do they cook that meat, man? High temperature. High
right.
temperature to seal those juices in. Okay. Now, we figured by getting this up to 1,400 degrees, you can go as high as 1,400 degrees on our cooker, and our heat source is from the top. So when those juices fall from whatever food you're cooking, they're not falling on coals, getting fires shooting up and smoke getting in your face and all that stuff. They're falling in a drawer that you can simply roll out afterwards and clean simply nice and easy. Plus, we have three different levels of drawers to cook a variety of foods. You can even make a pizza in there. You put it on a sheet. But I'm talking about fish, vegetables, and all. It's portable. That's one of the keys, Angelo. You can carry it. A lady can take it. It only weighs 39 pounds. It's stainless
wow.
steel. And for camping
nice.
Trips, like I say, tailgating, it's positive. There's nothing out there like it. It hasn't been. It's innovative. We do have as a teammate the Pro Football Hall of Fame endorsement. And you know those cats won't endorse things unless they believe it's good. So we're excited about it. And I don't know, Angelo. I think some hot sausage, some good Italian sausage.
Oh yeah, are you kidding? When I first heard name it, you know, I was like, I hear name it. The first thing I don't think is sausage and peppers, but apparently you cook.
Oh, yes. You know, I once saw Johnny Carson's show where he had a lady on there that was 102 years old, and Johnny Carson said to her, "You look so great. You smile." He says, "What do you attribute this longevity and happiness to?" She said, "Oh, Johnny, you are what you eat." Well, let's do a good job on the food, Angelo, and eat the right thing.
Oh, you're kidding? Joe, I always do. I do the cooking for my house. I might have to give you send you my address to send me one of these rapid cookers.
It's a deal.
But Joe, I have a pitch for you.
As long as the commissioner allows it, it's a deal.
All right. Yeah.
Now,
I'm a free agent.
Now, Joe, you were down in the Yankee spring training this year. You know what's funny, Joe, is my grandfather in his house, and he wanted me to ask this question. He's going to be listening, and I'll get in trouble if I don't ask it. Is he has a big picture of you and Mickey Mantle all in his wall in his house. Now, you recently were down in spring training and spent some time with Derek Jeter. What's the biggest difference, and what things do you see alike, you know, meeting Mickey Mantle and spending time with Mickey Mantle and spending time and meeting Derek Jeter?
Well, I got goosebumps in a sense meeting both of those guys. Certainly, first of all, the circumstances were slightly different. The first time I met Mickey Mantle, he was sitting with Whitey Ford and Billy Martin in the Pussycat at Go-Go Club on First Avenue eating ribs, you know. I met him in a night joint. Derek, we meet in the ballpark, you see, so there's a difference to start with. Mickey, times were different, people were different, but one thing you know about these two guys, they're great players, and Derek, I know, has taken a bit more responsibility. He wasn't as reckless, maybe isn't, as Mickey might have been off the field, but considering Mickey's outlook on life, and how the men in his family did not live a long life. Mickey wasn't joking toward the end of his own life when he said, hey, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself. He meant that. But both of those guys are heroes of mine, man. I appreciate the way they work, get out there and compete. And
right.
I'm just thrilled to have had the – and Girardi was a wonderful host. Joe, I loved watching him play, but, man, he was so nice. The whole bunch of guys. Got to see Guidry, too. You know, these cats, some of the old-timers were still there that I feel bad calling them old-timers. I hope they don't get on me for that, but I guess if you're lucky enough to last a little while, younger folks do refer to us as old-timers.
No, Joe, you're not an old-timer. Come on, you kidding me?
No, Joe,
yeah,
you're
well,
an old-timer.
No, I mean, when we look at the numbers, we've been around for a while. That's one of the tags we get, and whatever folks say, hey, Joe, you're old. I say, yeah, man, it sure does beat the alternative.
Now, Joe, one more question before we let you go here. You know, you have been definitely critical at times of the Jets and you know, well-deserved for some of the moves, you know, that we've seen. And you've seen a downfall of the team, you know, from where they were 2-3 years ago and some decisions that were made. Do you still – you are the greatest Jet of all time. Do you still have a great relationship with the organization to this day?
Great is a word that is overused. even when we describe athletes, politicians, whatever, great, it really is. It's overused. I have a comfortable relationship, a good relationship with Rex. Woody and I have talked recently at the Super Bowl and all, and that was very comfortable. None of us, guys, none of us enjoy being critiqued when it's kind of in a negative fashion, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're talking about football and you're asked your opinion, I'm asked mine, I've got to tell you what I see and what I feel and what I know because of experience and life's lessons and being on the field and off and in the locker rooms and all, and seeing things. So what I've said in the past in reference to my views on the team, yeah, I met him, you know, and I've continued to do that. I tell you what, a whole lot of is put into the players we're getting and all physically, and that is a major part of the game that I know is important, and that's that mental part of the game. I want our guys to be able to maintain their poise and be disciplined and be smart and not beat themselves as much. And Rex has them going in the right direction when it comes to minimizing the number of errors that they have control over.
Yeah, no, I completely see that. Now, last question here. We're talking with Joe Namath. Joe, before we let you go, how do you see the Jets finishing record-wise this year after seeing the schedule come out?
Boy, if I knew that, I'd go to Vegas or Atlantic City right now and try to do some work. Yeah, yeah. Man, I don't know. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. Lady Luck plays a role, too.
Yeah.
You get a couple of few injuries. That team across the town, you know, that I forget the name of them, but the team across the town from the Jets, they had some bad luck with injuries last year. Every team, if they suffer some injuries, it can deplete your best players. You're going to have a bigger struggle. So I just don't know. I'm 8-8 last year. We know we could be a 10-win team, but you got to go out and do it day in and day out, and remains to be seen how our guys do.
Well, Joe, we want to appreciate you, and you know, thank you for coming on Jet Nation. You are the best, and you still are the coolest guy in New York City. Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank,
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. It was a dream come true.
Thank you, Angelo, and Brandon enjoyed it, and tell Tom I didn't miss him.
All right, Joe. Thank you so much.
You
okay.
Just scored points, Joe.
Yeah. man.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Tom Shane, Angelo Berkowitz, and Brandon Dowling. All right. That was the legendary Joe Namath, and man, oh man, all I can say is how much fun, you know, that we had, me and Angelo, doing that interview. What a classy stand-up guy. Truly is the best Jet in the history of the organization. You know, big time player in his career, Hall of Famer, an icon in sports history. But Tom, you know, he really got on your case. But before we get to that, and I would love to hear Tom's reaction, you know, to being dissed by Joe Namath. You know, we definitely want to make everybody aware that you can still go to namathproducts.com. You heard Angelo talking about the rapid cooker. As Joe Namath has his sausages at high temperature, you can have your sausages at high temperature as well. Just visit namathproducts.com. Get your Joe Namath rapid cooker today. All right, Angelo, me and you were sitting with Joe Namath. We spoke to him. We had the pleasure of talking to Joe. We didn't have the pleasure of being dissed by Joe Namath on the air on Jet Nation Radio. Tom, your response, please.
It's like a dream come true, really, when you think about it.
I don't know how he got your number so fast, Tom.
You know, he must have been tipped off. He must have been tipped off, or he reads the site, or he reads my blog, or he got the letters I keep sending him every week that he never returns. I don't know what... You can't return a letter. A stamp is 45 cents. I've included self-stamped envelopes, and he doesn't return them. But what I'll say is this. So I missed, if that means anything, move on, please.
And we have a caller coming in here on Jet Nation Radio who's been holding through the end of the Joe Namath interview. So let's get the number on here. 754 area code. You are live on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead. Anybody there?
Hello?
Yes. Yes, you're on the air.
Who are you?
On
how
the
did
radio,
you get this
sir?
Number?
All right, well, that's going to cause our first one of these. And there's our first loser effect call on Jet Nation Radio. And, you know, but let's jump right into it.
That might have been one of my relatives.
Angelo, you know, when you were talking to Joe, what was one thing that stood out to you the most?
You know, the thing that really stood out to me, you know, we did the interview remote. The thing that stood out to me was that I'm interviewing Joe Namath in my pajamas. That was the first thing that went through my head. But the other thing was how absolutely charming and classy he was.
Right.
I mean, he treated us as if we were Bob Costas.
People have said I'm better than Bob Costas. But go ahead, keep going.
Well, maybe those are the same people that want to draft Teddy Bridgewater in the place now. But yeah,
yes,
I was totally blown away at how gracious he was.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tom.
Pretty much.
He seems very, you know, he's always so genuine. He tells you what he thinks, like how's that these days.
No, I completely agree.
Yeah,
we actually have our 754 caller back on the air. Let's try this another time. You are live on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I'm fantastic.
Good, how are you?
Yeah, the funniest thing about it, I was listening to y'all, and my cheek touched the button. So, I mean, I pressed the number one button. But anyway, I'm glad y'all back.
Great. What's up?
Great. Yeah.
What do you got to say?
I got a special question I want to ask. First of all, I'm happy to actually catch your show and catch the ending of Joe Namath. He actually one of my favorite quarterbacks. I think he's a legend. But the draft is right around the corner, and I want your thoughts on Brian Cooks. I think that would be an ideal pick.
Go ahead, Angelo.
Brandon.
I love Brandon Cooks.
Thank you.
If he was a girl, I would be stalking him right now. I absolutely love this player. I don't know him that well. I hope he's not listening. But, yeah, I love Brandon Cooks. I think he adds an element to your offense that will help every other part of your offense, especially the run game. You need that guy that's going to keep that safety honest. The guy has been so incredibly tough. If you look at college players, they're either productive, like Jordan White, or they've got incredible measurables. Brandon Cooks has both. He runs a 4.3 40, and he's like another DeSean Jackson.
Wow.
No, I completely agree with you. You know, it's a matter of this though. If you're the Jets right now, you know, Brandon Cooks, I think we can pretty much agree that that's a guy who's going to move into a slot receiver type role. So when you're looking at the Jets, I see it from this point of view. In terms of your need at wide receiver, even though you've added Eric Decker, I still think you want to go big body. I think if you go with an Odell Beckham or a Marquise Lee and throw those guys on the outside, and you're talking about Decker and Beckham or Decker and Lee on the outside with Jeremy Curley in the slot, that's a dangerous wide receiver tandem. I do like Cooks. I think that he adds an explosive element to your game and could bring you to a next level in terms of speed. But I look at it from this point of view. I want the Jets to get bigger at the wide receiver position because I think the speed is already there. Go ahead, Tom.
That's interesting. I mean, what's stopping Brandon Cooks from being an outside receiver? Side is a little overrated. Can he get off the press on the outside, I guess, is a concern. But, it's funny with Geno because he looked so inaccurate at times. In college, he threw to two smaller receivers, and he was prolific doing it, and Tavon Austin, Stedman Bailey. I wouldn't be afraid to draft Cooks and then tell Morningwick to figure out how to use them, Because you can put David Nelson outside.
Are you
going to
throw a 5-8 guy on the outside?
There was some
question.
Well,
we were just talking about DeSean Jackson. He lines up outside. DeSean Jackson's
outside.
On the outside. He has no problem with it.
I mean, I got a little secret for you.
What's
but
that?
Brandon Cooks is actually stronger than Odell Beckham. He's physically stronger than Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
And you know what? Odell Beckham's not exactly 6'2", 6'3", himself. Odell Beckham's what, 5'11"?
Yeah,
true.
Look
at the way Brandon Cooks played last year and look at, what type of receiver he is. I think when you're the Jets right now, you're going to want to take a guy who's going to be a physical guy at the line of scrimmage who's going to get open, who's going to catch a lot of touchdowns. I think Brandon Cooks, again, great wide receiver. If the Jets take him in the first round, I'm not going to be upset about it. I think that that's a great move, and you're adding depth, but I would like to see them get a big body wide receiver, somebody that they can, throw on the outside with Decker. I think Brandon Cooks, could eventually develop into an outside guy. I see him more of a slot receiver type player, but I personally think that the Jets, if they're going to go receiver, they need somebody who's going to be catching touchdowns, because as we've seen over the past couple, the past couple years, they need guys who can catch touchdowns at the wide receiver position. Eric Decker had more touchdowns last year than the entire team combined. That's a problem. And Decker is going to contribute to more touchdowns, and you have to go over. Go ahead, Tom.
But at 18, Brandon, are you talking about somebody like Kelvin Benjamin or trading up for Mike Evans? Because the other guy listed her.
Exactly.
Something 6 foot and under.
If I was the Jets, if I was John Idzik sitting right now smoking my Cuban cigar yelling at Rex Ryan to go get me another cup of coffee, what I would be doing right now is I would look at Sammy Watkins and the fact that I have 12 picks, okay, and I could bounce up because let's face it. Hold on a second. Don't awe me just yet. Hold on a second. If you are going in this direction and you have 12 picks, People are trying to trade down, why not go up and get a primetime receiver that's going to step on the field for them next year and could be an impact number one right off the bat? Go ahead, Tom.
All right. Well, because if you're going to go Watkins, then you got to get up into the top three. And if you're getting in the top three, then you're talking about, next year's first-round pick.
I don't know if they're going to want
to get up there for Sammy Watkins.
You think it's that much?
like, you're going to get, that's the cost to get up there. Yeah, I do. I, you know, when I do my mock drafts on Saturday nights when I'm home alone, that's what it costs. I look up the value charts. It's like, to move up to in the top three this year, it would be the Jets pick, like another third, and then next year's first. That to get up that high. And Watkins, too, remember, he's not a giant himself. He's another, like, six-foot guy, you know? So, granted, he is a pure outside receiver who can play that way. But I think if you're talking trade-up possibilities, you start looking at Mike Evans, because you get up to in that 7-8-9 area, you might have to be Tampa Bay to him at 7.
Right.
But if you can get up in that 7-8-9 area, you have a chance at Mike Evans. And I love Mike Evans. Size, you know, he dealt with Manziel the whole time. He knows how to play with a quarterback who's a little, let's say, you know, inaccurate. So, I mean, that's your guy. If you want to help Geno Smith, that's your goal, then you go find a way to get Mike Evans on your team. I love Watkins, but that's a guy, that's a dream right now. That guy's going top three, top four.
No, I just Angelo? Can't see them trading up. I just do not see them trading
out?
Up. With, hello?
Oh, he's here. Go ahead.
Hello? Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't see them. I can't see them possibly trading up.
All right.
I don't know if that's Idzik's way. I don't really even profess to know what Idzik's way is.
Yeah.
But to trade up in a draft that's so deep in wide receiver for a wide receiver, to me, it doesn't make much sense. I mean, you can get a productive player, you know, at 18. Because once you roll around to, like, you know, whatever pick you're trading away, the third round pick, whatever it's going to be, now you've got another hole you've got to fill. You know, you're not going to be able to draft that tight end.
Right.
You're not going to draft maybe that cornerback that you liked. I would be happy if they stayed at 18. If they drafted a wide receiver, I would prefer Cooks. I'm happy with Lee. I'm happy with Beckham, but I think it should be a wide receiver at that spot.
Well, if you're going to trade,
Brandon,
if you're going to trade
receiver,
down,
when you call somebody a slot receiver, you're kind of cursing them a little bit. You kind of call them like, you know what I mean? It's a little bit of a
It's just the way he plays. You know, that's the type of wide receiver that we've seen him, and that's in college.
I've seen
and
plenty
I
of plays with him
way.
Making plays downfield. That guy gets separation.
Correct, but. The difference is
Julian Edelman catches 13 passes for 77 yards.
Right. The difference is, are you taking a impact player at 18, or are you taking a game changer at 4 or 5? That's where you come into play. You have 12 picks. 12 picks in this draft. You can put some together to get up and get a guy who is a game changer, not a guy who's going to come on the field and be an impact player. The Jets need game changers. When you look at their offensive roster, who is your game changer? You're going into the first of all, last year you had no game changer. You didn't have anybody who, when other teams were stepping on the field and they were looking at the blueprint against the Jets offense, who was your game changer? Chris Ivory? That's the guy that people are going to look at and say, oh, man, we better prepare for Chris Ivory this week. They don't have anybody like that. If you have Sammy Watkins, go ahead.
Well, one thing, though, how do you classify a game changer? Because if you really want to call somebody a game changer, Jeremy Curley was a game changer. If you look at Geno's numbers with Curley and without Curley, they are starkly different.
I promise you, if Jeremy Curley goes on another team,
Jeremy Curley.
He's a fourth or fifth wide receiver on other teams. I mean, again, that's us Jet fans who know who Jeremy Curley is.
Yeah,
when it comes down
to it,
NFL, it's you need guys who are going to step
changer.
On the field.
Yeah.
Right. For the Jets.
Game changer.
We're talking about an NFL game changer. We're talking about a guy, if you put Jeremy Curley on another roster, he's not going to be a game changer.
Yeah, I would think,
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I don't think Bill Belichick is sitting up and I'm saying, oh, my God, Jeremy Curley's coming to town.
Exactly.
But he's a game changer from this perspective. He's where he's supposed to be when Geno throws the ball, which Santonio Holmes certainly wasn't and Clyde Gates wasn't. I mean, even Nelson, you saw when Nelson and Curley played together, like Geno kind of knew where his receivers were going to be, and that was like a great novelty for him, you know? So we had some chemistry.
People
don't know
what they're doing. Imagine that.
To get back to the game changer thing, why didn't if they're desperate for a game changer, I mean, if you think they're going to make that move this year, Brandon, why didn't they just go get Deshaun Jackson?
Because
you know, they were going to trade all these
away
picks,
from Deshaun Jackson,
jump off of Watkins, you could have had Deshaun Jackson for considerably less.
Right, but I put it in this perspective. I think
because
that
of his character
had,
issues?
Potentially. I think that John Idzik looked at Deshaun Jackson as a big-time media problem. I think Deshaun Jackson never had any interest of coming to the Jets. I think that Deshaun Jackson is a headache that they didn't want and move in a different direction. I think if you go up and trade for another guy, there's a potential there to get a game changer on your offensive side of the ball. And I do want to thank everybody for tuning in to our first show of Jet Nation Radio. Unbelievable start as we had Joe Namath right off the bat. We will be here every Tuesday at 8 o'clock, 1 hour, bringing you Jet Talk. We appreciate the callers coming in. You know what? Because it's the first Jet Nation Radio, we do have one caller left on the line here. We're going to let him go, finish it out. 631, you're on the air with Jet Nation, Tom, Brandon, and Angelo. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? This is Slats. Thought I would give you a little celebrity bump here to start your second hour.
Oh my God!
This go
is
ahead.
Not what I what your
hang
question
up.
Sound like?
Hang up now.
First of all, I am rooting for a cornerback because I want Tom to hurt himself. but I don't see the Jets trading up either. I just don't see it. I don't see that game changer in the top of this draft, especially the wide receiver position, which is what everyone's talking about. I think that Brandon Cooks or Beckham, they're both guys that are quality wide receivers that are likely to be there at the 18th pick if that's what the Jets want to do. And if they're not there, that means that somebody at the cornerback position, at the safety position has dropped, and that's going to be a quality guy that the Jets need. I just don't see them trading up in the first round. There's a lot of talk about them having these 12 picks. 9 of them are on the third day of the draft. 4 of them, they can't trade at all. I just don't see them trading up. I'd be very shocked.
I would be shocked as well. I would be definitely shocked to see them trade up. But, again, you never know what direction they're going to take, because if you think a guy is going to be a game changer, if you think a guy is going to be your next Calvin Johnson or Dez Bryant, if you think Sammy Watkins is that guy and you realize that you think you can win on day 3 of the draft and you want to go up and make a move like that, I see that as an option for the Jets, don't you?
I don't see it because they had a gazillion dollars of free agent money they could have spent this year so far, and they didn't. I don't see them looking at this year as the year that they're going to make that big splash. If they saw this year as the year, they would have spent a lot more free agent dollars, and then they would have set themselves up to trade up and get, like, that last game changer that they envisioned. I think they're going to use their 12 picks.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you, but in a sense, and thanks for the call, I think that the Jets are looking to make that step into the right direction. They want to build through the draft. There's always a potential there for them to make something happen if they didn't like what they saw in free agency outside of Eric Decker to go up and get that game changer. We want to thank everybody for the first show here on Jet Nation Radio. Thank Tom and Angelo and myself, of course, the host, along with Joe Namath. Again, check out Joe Namath's Rapid Cooker if you want to go out and get yourself a brand new way to make hot and spicy sausages at a high temperature. NamathProducts.com. Thank you, everybody. We will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.